We're joined here by the frontman from a band that needs little introduction. It's Caleb from Spacey Jane. How are you going?
Hello, hello. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's it like over there right now? Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from LA, and actually, I'm just looking out the window. It's so wet and miserable. It's just very un-LA, and I always get mad when it's like this here because I was promised sunshine, but that's okay.
LA, is that a 12-hour time difference?
I don't know. No, actually, I don't think it's that bad compared to where you are. What time is it where you are?
It's 10 a.m.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's 10 a.m. on Thursday, isn't it?
Yes. What's
yeah,
it
it's
for
like
you?
It's like 1:20 p.m. on Wednesday. So I guess it's like a huge time difference, but like doesn't feel that crazy. It's just for a day apart, I suppose.
Oh, I don't know where I got this 12-hour thing from. My whole life's a lie. Anyway, congratulations on your latest single, How to Kill Houseplants.
Thank you.
I'm terrible for killing my houseplants, but I'm getting better with time. And they're a funny thing because I always feel like whenever I'm in a bad state, I look at my plants and they're suffering too. But then on the other hand, if I pour too much into them, literally they drown and also suffer.
Yeah.
They're very melodramatic, delicate things, which is why your analogy of tending to plants as tending to a relationship is so accurate. What was the aha moment for finding this?
I mean, I first started talking about it as a metaphor, like on our first album, the song Sunlight, the title track off the record, is actually about the idea of how much sunlight you need to give something for it to grow, but like what too much sunlight might do to kill something. So I've been thinking about it for a while, and I think this time around, it was a little bit more about like relitigating the history of failed relationships and houseplants and what it is that has gone wrong in particular, and kind of like writing a bit of a recipe for that, of how to mess it up, a 5-step program on how to destroy the things you care about.
A recipe for disaster. FKA Twigs has her song Water Me that also follows like the similar theme of needing to be watered.
True.
Yeah, by her loved one in order to grow and flourish. And it's so heartbreaking because it shows that there's still hope. Like there's still a chance for revival if only the other person has the ability to. So what was it like confronting this for yourself?
It was hard. It was like written throughout the process of like a relationship that broke down in the end. And so that sort of has even more of a profound impact on me when I listen to it now. But it's like, obviously it's difficult to address and come to terms with your own faults and failings. And it's maybe silly of me to put them in a song and sort of mark that and you know, evangelize that sort of experience. But I did it anyway. And now, I don't know, I'm really proud of the song. So I'm glad that it came out the way it did. It was very emotional, like recording that outro in the studio, for example, and we were all just feeling pretty shitty.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful track. It's definitely a ballad for the ages.
Thanks.
You also released a visual to it that shows the Spacey Jane band clearing out a house and leaving behind just a little houseplant that appears out of nowhere, and it sits on the floor, and it's lit by a gentle stream of light, and it almost looks like a ghost. What does it mean for you and the visualizer to clear out the house and close the door on a single houseplant?
It's funny. It's quite a... I had that exact experience in LA only 4 or 5 months earlier when I moved out of my house alone and sort of shut the door on this chapter and this thing, this part of my life that had been pretty difficult when we just finished a record. And so the metaphor and also like some of the moving boxes that we used are my actual moving boxes from my storage unit, and they contain all these memories of like a relationship and a time of my life that's seemingly gone. So it's like it makes a lot of sense, and it was kind of an easy thing. It was just like redoing what I'd already done and then having my bandmates help me do it. It was pretty sad, honestly. Like going back to the storage unit and going through all these things and figuring out what boxes to take. It's funny how personal that experience actually was.
It's funny how places and inanimate objects hold so much power in them just through memory, and it is kind of an awful thing to do, to have to pull up all your old shit and you're like, oh god, here we go.
Yeah, it sucks.
You have no choice but to confront that emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and having it all locked away in a storage unit is sort of metaphorical for having it all locked away in a part of your brain that you refuse to.
Yeah, maybe that's your next song.
Yes. Yeah. How to open a storage unit.
Yeah. So as a group, what is the music making process like? Is it, what comes first, the lyrics, a feeling, or a sound?
It starts usually with guitar parts or keys parts for me, and a couple lyrics, an idea that I've had written in my notes app or something like that, and it's built from there. And then once I bring it to the band, it can change drastically, dramatically. And one thing that I love, one of the many things I love about my bandmates, is how well they capture the feeling of a song. And you know, we are a band still. Like, it's really important that everyone brings to a song what they feel the song is about, how they feel they should engage with it. And that's what makes it unique and does things to it that make it so it's like I could never do it on my own, in a sense.
That's beautiful. You've got an album coming out in May. Very exciting. Will we be seeing more tracks addressing themes of love and heartbreak?
Yeah, you'll be seeing nothing but songs addressing themes.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. It's a great motivator for art.
Yeah, and it's that, and it's about like reflection and written from a place of discomfort and being outside of my home. You know, Australia, being in LA, and it reflects on the, I guess, identity and who I am and what makes someone who they are if they don't have all of the like reference points in their life around them, which happens when you pull yourself out of a comfortable and known environment.
Yeah, you took yourself out of the storage box. Sorry, I'm going to be hanging on to that one.
That's good. Go for it.
You've got a great following behind you, but how does it feel to have so many eyes watching you as you release new music?
It's exciting. It's daunting. You know, it feels like a really amazing opportunity to put our best foot forward for however many people are ready to hear new music from us. But yeah, it's scary now. Like, back in the day, we kind of just put music out, and if you discovered it, you discovered it. And now I'm in a really blessed position where like people are going to hear it. So that's a different, you know, it makes the process of creating music different because you're thinking about things in a different way.
At what point did you feel that shift?
I felt it after the first album, like just going into making the second one. You know, the first record, we started making it not even intending on putting a whole album together. It was just like, we'll just record songs as we have them and do it piecemeal in between jobs and uni and all that sort of stuff. So by the time we got to the second album, it's like, okay, you're a band now, this is your job, here's your label, you're gonna like, we need songs out by this time. And that like fundamentally shifted the process of what we did and the whole like foundation of it.
It must be really interesting to reflect back on that time where you were just making music with no sort of thought of an audience, and now people are waiting for the music to be dropped, and it must be a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it does feel quite different. I think that's where like we're all really grateful for each other. And we're grateful for the team we have around us who make us feel like we're not going it alone. That's a real blessing.
And I think also your fan base are really lovely too. I think you've got a great one there.
I agree. Yeah. We do feel very grateful for them.
Yeah. There's a quintessential Aussie indie rock sound that is synonymous with your music. Where do you think this comes from?
I mean, it probably comes from just being Australians, I guess. It's funny, I don't know how, like, if this album is going to sound different because it was made a little bit out of that context. But yeah, it's not like a sound that we've tried to make. It's funny, like all of our biggest influences come from bands all around the world. And I think it's just like, yeah, that's just the sound, you know, and we're grateful to be a part of it and to hopefully be and to influence other things inside that genre. But yeah, it's funny, like people like call us surf rock sometimes and like assume that, but we don't, none of us really surf, you know, like, we don't really live that life. I guess it's, I suppose, the backdrop of sunny Western Australia that sort of made us the band we are, albeit, you know, despite pressing the lyrics around things.
Yeah. I always find it very fascinating talking to artists that come on here from Australia and New Zealand and how much the backdrop of your environment really does influence the kind of music you make without realizing it too.
Yeah, totally. I think it's so often without realizing it. You have, it's hard for you or for me, at least, and us as a band to like sound, think, to say, well, we sound like this, or like this is the, these are the references that go into the music. It's sort of just like, it's just us. So it's interesting when it seems to still have all those contextual sounds in it.
And we've got a huge tour coming up in May and June. Is that right?
Yes.
Are you, how are you feeling about that?
So excited. We love touring. I've got to go and learn all the songs this month and next month.
Yeah.
And get my singing voice warmed up and, you know, pull the show together. So that's like always a massive amount of work and a little daunting, but we're really excited, and it's just been so long since we've done lots of touring, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. I remember going to your concert at the Auckland Town Hall a couple of years ago, and I was just blown away by the sheer excitement and joy from everyone in the audience, and I just think Aotearoa loves you. So how are you feeling about returning to New Zealand in particular?
We're feeling great about it. Yeah, it's funny you say that. We, the last time we went on tour for our last record, our first shows were in New Zealand as well, and I just remember hearing like a few times playing songs, like playing them outside of Australia for the first time ever. And it's been, that's been the case for a lot of shows in New Zealand. It's our first ever international market we played, and we feel like we get really well looked after and have really amazing support there. So really looking forward to it. I think there's, at least for us, it feels like a kinship with you guys. There's a similarity. There is this like kind of, we share so much, I suppose, so many cultural experiences. So New Zealand always feels like a little bit of a home away from home, and we're really excited about it.
Yes, absolutely. I think that kinship goes both ways too.
I'm glad.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to How to Kill Houseplants. Thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
No worries.
Bye. If I was switching off the light, what a pretty fight. Please put down the knife, we can call it. And I can leave tonight, but you said,
we'll be right back.
How to Kill Houseplants by Spacey Jane. We just spoke with Caleb. They're coming to New Zealand and tickets are out now, I believe. We're going to be back after a quick break.